Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live from Natch Park area. This is Navy Yard. That's where we at. I'm with all over the damn place. We're in the Navy Yard studios. JP is coming to you live from home today. And we're going to get you ready for this game coming up this weekend as the Commanders take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I understand how things happened the first time we played them, but I think everything has changed a lot since then. I believe this is a better team, more matured. I believe Tampa has slipped a little bit. They still are a good team defensively. They run the ball effectively, and we'll see what goes down with it. But ultimately, we have to just be ready. I think everything that happened throughout the year happened. Right now, this is where you have to go out and come out with your best stuff. You have to come out with all the adjustments. You learn from what you all been through, and when you get a chance to go and play this team at this time, you need to let them understand that Jaden is no longer the rookie playing in his first game. His offense is still a better offense than it was then. Defensively, we've had our ups, we've had our downs, but we've figured out a way to make things happen in the second half of most football games. But I just feel this is going to be an opportunity or a chance where things need to happen a little sooner. Can't wait till halftime to make adjustments. Got to make the adjustments as we go through the football game, as many, many coaches have done it many, many times before. Still waiting to get JP hooked up. Well, I think I hear a little bit of you, Jay. You here?
Yeah, you got me?
Yep, got you, brother. What's happening?
Oh, not too much, man. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well.
How was the ride in today? Seems like the roads are a lot better now.
The ride in today was 800,000 times better.
Yeah, yeah.
And until I got to D.C., and then everything was still slush.
For me, it was the ride. It's just the neighborhoods are still pretty rough, but everything else has been fine. I've been running around this morning a lot for 10 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Listening to you there, though, obviously, you know, this weekend's game is of such, like, crazy importance. But at the same time, I think yesterday, Dan Quinn talked yesterday and provided just, I think, some real insight on these injuries that people were, I think it was pretty damn obvious Jaden was fine in that Cowboys game and they just pulled him because it was a relatively meaningless game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I think for Jaden, it was like, Quinn's like, yeah, he's totally fine. And I think that's the reality of the situation. Don't you get the same vibe?
I don't know if they really wanted to let people know that was their plan. Because I hear a little bit too much with this whole situation. I believe they had a game plan to take him out the game. I believe that they didn't want to just say that. Why? I don't know. If he's perfectly fine, you took him out of the game. You didn't bench Jaden Daniels in the 17th game of the season. You know what I mean? So ultimately for me, I don't buy a lot of what I'm hearing. And I understand this is that opportunity where they play. They want to tell you what they don't want you to know everything. And at this situation, I'm cool with it. You know, the game ended. They won the football game. As I look at the whole season now, I think this team is light years ahead of where we thought they would be. I think you're playing with house money at this moment. And I feel as we go forward, you know, we got to stop worried about what we expected to be. It's not a 100% finished product yet. You know, this is not a finished product. They're not where they're going to be when they finish implementing everything that they want. You know, I think we have, as fans and people watching, we've changed all of our mindsets. But they just happen to be a little bit ahead of schedule. And ahead of schedule physically may not be ahead of schedule mentally. Because overall, this team is not the mature team you expect it to be in a year or two. And for me, what happened in the Tampa game, in the last game against Dallas, and what happened this season absolutely means nothing to me. Because the Tampa game coming up is a totally different animal. You're in the playoffs now. You played them once before. They're going to know a little bit more about you. You should know more about them. And this game is going to come down to who's prepared to play today. If anybody thinks what happened in the first game is going to dictate what happens in this game, you're fooling yourselves.
I totally agree, B. I also think of the injury updates, you know, the situation with Jaden, I think is really – I think you're right. I thought they were going to play Mariota all along. I think there's a reason. Even if you just look to Vegas, you couldn't get many Jaden props until late in the week. I think everybody was just a little bit confused how that was going to go down.
Uh-huh.
I think by far the biggest injury issue is Lattimore. And what Dan Quinn said yesterday was hardly a ringing endorsement. I'll read it to you. I don't know what to make out of this. I get the feeling, both just from knowing the player and knowing the person, but I get the feeling that Biadasz is going to play. But this was DQ on Lattimore and on Biadasz, and I'm curious what you hear from this. All right, so he said, Biadasz is doing good, coming back next on that. Marshawn was also doing well, ran today, so Arrow was going up. Then he talked about Jordan McGee, hoping trending up. Same with Cornelius Lucas. What do you think they get with Lattimore, B?
Lattimore is going to bring you a certain mindset. It's going to bring you a certain swagger, because Mike Evans knows he has hell in a tough-ass game if he's going to be going against Matt Lattimore. And I think that allows you to do other things if you got Lattimore on the field. But ultimately, you didn't have him the first time. And in that first game, I understand they beat us. But I saw so many opportunities where we could have won that football game. And I believe the guys that played in the first game needs to also understand we have grown some. Okay? They didn't just walk out there and run over a lot. Yeah, they've grown a lot. And on top of it, the defensive line and linebackers, they got to realize you get a hand on Baker Mayfield, his ass needs to go to the ground. And I'll say it all week until somebody in the damn locker room hear me. If you are tackling someone, go to the ground with them. You can't just hit people and think they're going to fall. So maybe that's part of the reason why Baker didn't go down sometime. Grab his ankle, grab his legs, grab his waist, fall to the ground with him. He'll go down.
Yeah, you know, DQ was asked about that because clearly Baker was really good in that game and really hard to bring down. I thought his answers were fairly telling. I'm trying to find it specifically. So he was asked if there's a secret to sacking Mayfield. And DQ responded, well, we certainly didn't have it, if there is. He is a rare competitor in that way, and there's some guys that in the pocket, the foot quickness, the ability to move a shoulder to get underneath somebody, they do have that. And you have to make sure you are rushing somebody. We call it a cage, where you try to put somebody into a spot to at least not allow them to hitch up and go. He's had a fantastic year. He's thrown 41 touchdowns. Certainly being able to get Baker down would help.
Yep.
I just don't know. You know, it's funny, B, that you said you look back on that game and thought, you know, they had chances to win.
Yeah.
DQ said something like, yeah, you know, I'm not even sure the score was as close as that game was. So DQ might be channeling his inner Joe Gibbs, like, yeah. Oh, man, these guys are world beaters. We got no chance. You know what I mean?
See, and that's what a lot of coaches do. But there were opportunities missed in that game by our offense. We saw all the missed opportunities to take Baker down by our defense. You know, you don't look at that and say, if we take him down two or three times, hit two of the shots maybe to Terry, all of a sudden you see stuff differently. in that football game. And I think, listen, human nature hasn't changed since I was a kid. When people hear you praising them, they feel good about themselves. When people hear you challenging them, they seem to go and go back to the lab and learn a little bit more to come out more prepared for you. DQ is doing what DQ needs to do. But you ask me, do I believe this team could beat that team? Hell yeah. I saw Tampa lose some games this year that they look absolutely horrible. So we can't sit here and act like they are like what the Lions have been. They're not what the Chiefs have been. They're damn sure not what Minnesota has been. So it's at a point now where we've changed our expectations for this team because they've came out and played way better than we thought. But still, every time we get to a certain situation, we feel like we don't have a chance. I don't operate like that. I believe they have a chance.
Tell me if this sounds Joe Gibbsian to you. In his opening statement yesterday, speaking to the media, he said, "We went through what's next and beginning with Tampa. I thought full circle moments are definitely cool. And we started our season against Tampa, and now we get to begin our second season there as well. So it's a great measuring stick. You go back and you watch that game and see how much we've changed in that time, because they got us good for sure. And it didn't even feel that close. So we got lots of work to do, but we're really pumped to get rolling for the week."
All right. That is Joe Gibbs Jr.
Yeah, I mean, that stood out to me. Now, I mean,
listen, but it's not a knock on him. It's what coaches do. And as and you've heard me tell you this many times, Coach Gibbs is probably the greatest coach I know, okay? Hell, he is the greatest one I know. But I can tell you this, when I sat in those locker rooms and those meeting rooms and he was praising the other team, you know what I was saying? Bull crap. Because I don't believe that I need my coach to overly praise another team to get me ready. You know what I mean? And that's what coaches do. But as a player back in 1990, I didn't want to hear it. It agitated me. It irritated the hell out of me. And I hope some players on this team feel the same way. But I come to realize that is what coaches do. So either they are motivating you because they're making you have a process in your mind of, do they really believe this crap? Or are they telling me that they don't think I'm good enough? You know what I mean? So what you do, if you're a true competitor, you hunker down. You work harder. You study harder. So maybe it's a reverse psychology type of thing.
I agree. But looking back on it, they did get thumped by Tampa. It was 37-14 with 10 minutes left in the fourth. And at one point early in the third quarter, it was 23-7. Like, I think what I look back on the Tampa game and remember more than anything is Jaden for the first time seeing NFL speed. And he made some adjustments late in that game. He looked better. But I just think specifically, I think he is such a different player than what they had week one. And if you remember, and sadly some of this has kind of come back to be the norm, but the secondary was really bad in that game. I mean, Baker threw four touchdowns, only had six incompletions. And the secondary has improved. Now, if you get Lattimore back, that secondary is day and night different. I don't know that you're getting him back. You know,
yeah, but see, but the thing about if you don't get him back, you still have to have a level of confidence. So when you say, well, you know, if you get Lattimore back, you're good. In other words, you're saying when you don't get him back, you're not going to be that good. I want to believe that if you get him back the second time, these guys should have a better understanding of what the hell they dealt with the first time. That's the way I think. That's the way I hope these players think. And also, it is not just on the players. So the coaches got to go back and look at the film too and see what position you put them in and make some adjustments. Sure. You know, so everybody is on alert. And that's what
I also think. I also think in that game, I think until Cincinnati, because remember they opened in Tampa and lost They got thumped, to be honest about it. But then they won week two at home to the Giants, but they were
all
only
field goals.
All field goals. And a lot of that was the Giants didn't have a kicker, so they had to go for it all the time. Like, Cliff kept things really pretty vanilla and buttoned up until week three in Cincy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's going to be different, too. Deami Brown, OZ should have caught a touchdown pass from Deami Brown last week. Yeah. Nothing's going to be buttoned up on Sunday in Tampa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that touchdown pass was perfectly thrown, I can say that. On top of it, he was stumbling, and I don't know if it must have shocked him. But ultimately, as I look at it, I don't believe this team is nowhere near what they were the first game. Talking about the Commanders. And I believe the fact that they're not where they were in the first game, this ain't the same. It's not the same matchup we're going to be seeing. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah.
A 1,000,000,000%. The other thing, and like, I don't want to oversimplify anything, right?
Yeah.
But the way that Tampa game started, so Washington's first play from scrimmage, if you remember, Jaden threw the ball like backwards. They lost like 15 yards on the first play.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, their second drive, they went 10 plays for 51 yards, had two first downs. They got down to the Tampa 29, and then I think it was Cade York then. He missed that field goal.
Yeah, we've had so many damn kickers. I mean, I'm lost with them now.
Right. But, B, just think about that. So Tampa's first two drives were pretty successful, and then Washington stopped them. But Tampa went field goal to open. Then Washington gets the ball, has a good drive, 10 plays, 51 yards, but they miss the field goal. Tampa gets the ball back. They go down and score. So instead of 6-3 and you're kicking off, it's then 13-0, and Tampa got the ball at – I mean, they gained possession of the ball at the 37 because mm-hmm. they tried a long field goal.
Yeah.
So it's just like – I mean, you don't want to oversimplify too much. Tampa was the better team that day, undoubtedly. But two missed field goals ain't going to help you, especially early on for a team starting a rookie quarterback on the road, and you just want to, like, have some modicum of success to kind of ease into it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that. And that game, the way it started up, you put a lot of pressure on a rookie quarterback, a new defense. Hell, you put a lot of pressure on the O coordinator and the D coordinator, because now we have to adjust because this thing has already started quickly and it seems to be out of whack. So you start doing things a little bit more cautious on both sides of the ball. And while you're doing things cautious, you're not making the plays that are right in your hands sometimes. So I just think that right now, I don't believe the confidence level of this squad is like it was then. I think it's way above where it was. I think this team believe they can compete with anybody, but they also understand they have to make the plays. They can't go out there and shoot themselves in the foot. And if they do that, they give themselves a chance.
I'm with you, man. It's a very different game than week one. Tampa's still good. Like nothing changes about Tampa, right? They have some injuries on the back end, but they got Winfield. They got Vita Vea. We know about Mike Evans. Bucky Irving is a beast. Like, they got options, right? But I think Washington is so much different than they were week one. And I can't wait to find out, B. We got a long week. We got to see what happens with Biadasz. We got to see what happens with Lattimore. I think Jaden's completely fine. You'd like Brian Robinson to kind of get things going again.
Yeah.
I thought Dan Quinn had a really interesting answer on Robinson. Maybe we could play that a little later in the program. But, B, it's funny. As we talk about Washington kind of building up all this momentum to make the move to Tampa, I can't help but think about, if you're going to make a move in the DMV, you got to deal with our guy, John Leahy.
Yep, John Leahy. You have to deal with John just like Fred did. Fred needed to sell his Rockville home, so he called John and the Fine Living Group to get the property sold again. This was Fred's eighth time trusting John and his team to get the job done. With John Leahy's VIP seller program, he got the home sold quickly and for top dollar. If you're looking to sell, take advantage of John Leahy and the Fine Living Group's guaranteed offer. Start by finding out what your home's worth in only 30 seconds at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about our friend, John Leahy, and the fine living group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, John will let you out of your contract at any time.
That's just a few of the reasons why you should talk to our friend John. It's also easier stuff. Let's say you're thinking about you want to sell your house, but you're not sure how much it's worth. You know your neighbor's house just sold, but he has an extra bedroom. Go to John's website. There's a tool on there called Home Valuation. It's up at the top of the page. You click on that. That's johnsellsdmv.com, John with no H. Click on Home Valuation. And within about 30 seconds, maybe a minute, you'll get an answer on your home's value. And then if you want to go from there, call John, because he's got a ton of buyers lined up ready to buy that thing. Maybe you get some cash. Maybe you can retire. Whatever you're trying to consider for your future, financial and just where you live, John Leahy's the dude that can help. Call him today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fam. We are back, and B, obviously, there's a picture that went pretty viral yesterday on Instagram of the Commanders' bosses. You had Mark Ein, Mitch Rales, and Josh Harris, President Joe Biden, and D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser.
Yeah.
Looked in the Oval Office as Biden signed the paperwork to give the RFK land back to the city. Pretty damn cool, B.
It is. It is. And Jay, I have this feeling, bro, when all this stuff is happening, there's something football around it every time. And I think when they went 100 senators to none, and now everything is moving forward, it tells me that there is something somewhere saying that football stadium is going to be involved with whatever the new plans are. I know everyone thinks it's going to be hard for it going forward. I think whatever happens, it's going to be a football stadium in the middle of it.
To me, it sure seems harder and harder to think any other way. That said, I mean, we know what the city's capable of, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, even Nats Park, you know, for those – I know that, whatever, 20 years ago sounds like forever ago, but the Nats Park thing came down to the absolute last second, came down to the wire. I think this is different, though. I think I don't want to be naive and pretend that, like, these dudes are going to self-fund it, because they're not. They're going to look for a lot of help. And the NFL will get involved, too. The NFL will probably shell out $200-300 million.
They may give them a little bit more than that right now, because this is something that the NFL absolutely wants. They want a stadium in the nation's capital.
Dude, I mean,
and they know the possibilities moving forward.
Well, B, if you think about Roger Goodell specifically has advocated for this. Roger Goodell walked around the halls of Congress.
Yep.
Like, that just doesn't happen.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Goodell does a really good job of trying to stay neutral on everything.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's gone all in on this.
But I think every owner understands what this team was when it was in D.C. Every owner understands the possibilities of what can really transpire here in the nation's capital. And let's be real. Although they compete against each other, they're also on the same team now.
Yeah.
Okay?
More money goes up.
Hell yeah. They're not stupid about this thing. And I also believe that, look, as much as people outside of the NFL and outside of sports like to always try to tell sports people to stay in their place, every damn business in this world utilizes sports to sell their products, to sell their business, to sell them.
Totally. And I just think I'm a firm believer that there's a much better way. Like, I recognize the old mindset was, oh, man, those stadiums only get used 8, 10 times a week.
That's a prehistoric way of thinking.
Yo, if you think about Indianapolis or, I mean, seriously, a lot of these stadiums.
I think you got to put from.
Right.
That's the event you got all the time.
You got to put a dome or a retractable roof or something on there, I really believe, just to make it work. But, dude, you could just have kids flag football. Think about that big-ass flag football tournament you were involved with, B. I think Events DC does it with Cam Newton or whatever, and there were like 10,000 teams.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you have a dome downtown that you can get a bunch of kids onto, and then you'll probably have you gotta think big, and I think –
Think Harris, outside the box.
Well, I think Harris and Rails are the right people to do that.
Yeah.
I also think it's a fascinating time because the NFL will kick up cash. I think – I don't know, and I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody, but I think this ownership group, whether it's just optics or they want things built to a certain level – how about this? Here's my example. When the city did approve Nats Park, right, and it started getting built, the Learners had the option of burying those parking garages that are out the center field exits. You could have just dug up ground and had that all below ground and then had a really cool view into the city. But the city wasn't paying for that, and they said, well, we're not going to pay for it either. And that's why if you're sitting on the first base line or the third base line and you're in the lowers, all you see are those parking garages out in the outfield, and it sucks. I don't know, but I don't think these dudes are that type. I think these dudes will believe they're investing in the future. Do you remember this during Nats Park? At one point, the whole deal was starting to go sideways because the Learners were suing the city that the door handles weren't what was agreed to in the contract. The Learners have this reputation of being this like hardcore, serious ball buster negotiators, and they'll never give in until the final second. I'm not saying that Harris and Rails and Ine and Blitzer and all these dudes aren't incredibly talented operators of businesses, but I just from day one, they seem to have viewed this differently as an opportunity to get back to, I think Jason Wright coined this phrase. I don't know who did, but it's a great phrase. The spiritual home of this football team.
Yeah.
And I think you take the long road vision with that.
I think you do. And like for me, Jay, I'll say this. I was looking at a report last night and I sat in that building for what, 4 or 5 years over there at Commander's Park.
Yeah.
And it was a TV show doing a little thing. And I sat there, I told Monica, I was like, damn, they have done some work inside that room. I remember what it was when they first moved there.
When you first walk into the right?
Yeah, the room to the left. No. The room to the left where they do the meeting room.
Yeah.
Just looking at the inside of that room now compared to what the hell it had become, they are slowly but surely bringing things up to par that they already have. If they come with something new, it's going to be out this damn world.
I agree. I really do. And I think, you know, Harris famously told me I'm not an F-minus guy after the
I remember that.
After the NFLPA report card. And honestly, that was probably driven by a few people with an axe to grind. But they haven't been. I mean, just when we're out there and they give us the food and everything, they operate it differently, man.
Yeah.
And I think you'll continue to see that. That said, for all the goodwill we are spreading, the Washington, D.C. government is highly capable of messing stuff up. And I hope that's not the case, but I understand if folks want to approach it with a significant level of skepticism. Like, I choose to be optimistic on this because why not? But I understand the folks that still think there's a lot of ground to cover.
Okay. I understand it. But I think some people are just going, no matter what happens, some people are going to be like that. I think you have to look, you got to look at how smoothly this thing is working and look at the time frame of when things started working smoother. You know, and watch who were talking to the people on Capitol Hill and how it got changed up and the mindset changed.
Totally.
They didn't go. Roger, Harris, none of those guys went to Capitol Hill and talked about doing anything but building the stadium. And if all those people start jumping on board, there's a message somewhere deep in that bill that say stadium is going to be involved.
Well, dude, I mean, I don't know this, But here's what I know from talking to folks that work in the NFL. There was a little level of not concern, but they're like, all right, if Roger goes and walks around and talks to senators about getting this RFK bill passed, like, that's going to become public because he's Roger Goodell and people know what he looks like.
Yeah.
Like, just walking down the hallway, people are going to recognize him. That's going to get out, right?
He walked down the hallway and don't talk to anybody. They're going to think he was down there talking to people.
Right.
Yeah.
When Bruce Allen was so confident that he was going to get the stadium built, I don't remember any reports of Roger Goodell walking the halls of Congress.
No.
Do you?
No.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
That to me is fairly telling of where we are.
You always talked about politicians love taking pictures.
Right.
But none of them wanted to take a picture with the former owner, the previous ownership. Right now, they are welcoming these new people in, right? Because things are different now. Things look different. It makes them look better. It feels better. So things are moving in the right direction. Hands down.
Totally. I mean, they just had a photo op in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. Have we checked in with Jeff, Mr. Keep the Stadium in Maryland, since all this has happened? Jeff, are you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm good, JP. I mean,
so you've made your peace with it.
Yeah, my thing is, I wanted to stay in Maryland. It's not like I'm going to stop going to the games and stuff just because it's in D.C. It's cool with me wherever it go. Do I still want it in Maryland? Yes, I do. Will I still have the same level of excitement for a new stadium if it's in Maryland or D.C.? Yes, I will. And I just want a new home for us. I want it, you know, I see what they did since the new owners and stuff came in with the little stuff at the bottom, like with the decorations and things. I'm ready to see the Commanders have Washington have something nice for once. So I don't care where you're
sitting. I'm with that.
All right, Jeff. There we go.
All right. What about Professor Landini? He tends to be the most skeptical. Lanville, you think this actually gets done?
Yes.
All right, my connection might be screwing up, Landfill, so I'll leave that alone.
I say yes.
Okay, good. I think this is, bro, between Wild Card Weekend in Tampa and then getting a picture taken at RFK in the White House to talk about RFK Stadium. This is among the most exciting weeks to be a Burgundy and Gold fan. Honestly, maybe since like the Super Bowl seasons, because it's easy to not let it seem like as big of a deal because they have a playoff game this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But a new stadium and a new stadium at RFK is such a huge deal. And I get they're not at the finish line, but man, this organization, they're really doing something
seem
right.
Everything seems to be working right now. Like, they got the Midas touch.
You know who's got, totally. And you know who's got the Midas touch for all your garage door and opener needs?
Who's that?
Check them out at Door Pro America. JP Finley, my wife and I realized something recently. Our garage door was basically busted. It just was not getting it done. It went up and down, but it was not going to win any awards. So we called the real pros at Door Pro America, and now we're getting ready to level up in a big way. My boys Shane and Vince from Door Pro America came out, showed us a bunch of great options, and made the whole process super easy. We couldn't be more stoked about the new door we picked. It was really cool. They send you an email with all these different Photoshop options of what it's going to look like, and then you just pick from there. Door Pro America has been proudly serving the DMV for over 50 years. Their team handles everything, garage door and opener repairs, maintenance, and new installations. And they do it all like true pros. Right now, save $150 on a brand new garage door. If your garage door is stuck in the past, like one of those old leather helmets Beamish used to wear, or just needs a little TLC, take it from me and go with the pros at Door Pro America. Call 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. And tell them JP Finley sent you. Or check them out now at DoorProAmerica.com. Beamish and Finley, 106 in the fan.
Dream come true.
All right, B, we got some news around the league here.
Just want to be with you.
The Titans just announced they have fired general manager Rand Carthon.
Okay.
Listen to this for Tennessee, dude. So, December of 22, they fired John Robinson, their old GM.
Okay.
January 23, they hire Rand Carthon. I think they hired him from the Niners, if I'm not mistaken. about a year ago now, January of 24, they fire Mike Vrabel. Then a couple weeks later, they hire Brian Callahan away from the Bengals.
Uh-huh.
And now 2 years into his tenure, he got like almost 2 years to the day, they fire Rand Carthon.
All right.
Is that, I mean, they've been bad, right? And I'm not sure Will Levis is the guy. They now have the number one pick. If you don't feel confident in his quarterback skills, maybe you got to start over. But is 2 years enough? Enough, you know?
It's not, but they probably – listen, man, 2 years may not be enough, but if you see the moves that people make over 2 years, you probably know it ain't going to get no better. You just said Will Levis is not the guy. Did Rand Carthon choose Will Levis?
Yeah.
All right.
I might be that.
You told me mayonnaise man was a guy. I think it's time I got to let you go.
Yeah. How about this? Rand Carthon grew up in Key West. I feel like that'd be a tough place to focus growing up in Key West, but what do I know? Yeah, dude. So he was with the Niners from 2017 to 22 before he got hired by Tennessee. I'll be very curious. I mean, that's obviously somebody that's going to have a relationship with Peters. Maybe he'll go back to San Fran. I have no idea. He'll be able to get a job, but that's a, I don't know, man. This NFL is a tough ass business, dude. I mean, a lot of changes have happened in a very short amount of time. Barstool Nate's about to join us in a minute, but B, it's a good question Lanfield has on the show sheet. And we talked about it earlier. The missed field goal early on was tough. The secondary was really bad. But if you go all the way back to week one when they lost to Tampa, is there any one thing you would say cost them that game? Is there one thing you want to change?
Youthfulness and anxiety. I think there was just a – they started against a team that had a veteran team that started against our guy who they hadn't had the chance to really – learn the speed of the NFL. I think if we played them in a different level of the season, things might have been different.
I agree, man. Tampa's had some tricky losses if you look at them. I mean, that loss to Dallas a couple weeks ago was really pretty telling. They lost to Atlanta at home. They got swept by Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they are good. They certainly have some really good pieces, but you're going to get opportunities. And I think Washington, because of the performance in Dallas, maybe fans aren't remembering how good Washington had looked for a couple of weeks. Offensively, if they're right, they can score with anybody. And I think that's got to be the plan for this. You know, like it's let Jaden be Jaden, man.
Yeah. I mean, like, as we go through these playoffs now, it's 1 week. So things got to – you got to be what you got to be. Because if you don't do it sometimes in this week, you don't get it in the second week. So you got to go out there and ball out, man.
Totally. It's funny, man, looking at this Tennessee thing. So they had the GM. He got to hire a coach. The quarterback ends up sucking. You think there's some backdoor – hey, you know, I can pick us a coach at number one, but I got to be in charge of stuff. From the, like, GM hires the coach, the quarterback stinks. So then a year later, they get the number one overall pick. You think the coach is saying, hey, I got to be able to run this thing, but I can get us the right quarterback. I can develop him.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. Everybody wants to be the one to take care of everything, bro. That's how it goes.
Self-preservation league, man.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, they also went 3-14. You go 3-14, it's pretty hard not to fire people.
Yeah, yeah. 3-14 normally get you going.
Yeah, 3-14. That's what I thought Daboll with the Giants was actually pretty honest. He's like, man, we went 3-14. If people want to give me a hard time, they can.
Yeah. I still think that stuff is not done yet, Jay.
You still think they'll make a move?
I don't think that man is going to sleep very early, very good at night.
No. And I mean, what's almost worse, dude, So they have the, so the Giants now have the third overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're taking a quarterback there. I don't know. I don't know how to grade this quarterback class. Cam Ward is my top player. I'm sure there are people that'll say Shador.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I think Pro Football Focus was saying Milroe. But I don't know that any of those players help you next year. I think this past quarterback class, because these guys had played so much football, almost all of them,
mm-hmm.
were coming into the league at a level ready to play so much faster than the guys coming out this year. I mean,
Like the work. I mean, I understand the guys that play longer in college, but some of these guys, man, you know, Herbert was what? How many years Herbert had played in college?
I don't know. It's a good question.
You know, it's like some of them are ready. You know, a lot of guys, they played a lot of football.
Herbert
Shador played four, five?
I'll look it up.
Because he was at Jackson State. And he went to he played two at Colorado.
Yeah, and Cam Ward played at Washington State and then came to Now we've learned that this isn't always accurate, but this only shows me 2 years for Shador at Colorado. Maybe they just don't have the Jackson State stats.
They may not, but he played at Jackson State. We know that.
He only played 2 years at Colorado.
All right. Yeah, I know he played two at Colorado, but he was at Jackson State. One, two.
Cam Ward only played 3 years. He played two at Washington State and one at Miami. Okay. Now, all I'm saying, that's just a big difference from Jaden and Nix. I mean, these guys played like damn near. I think Bo Nix might have played 6 years because he got a COVID break. All right, we got to bounce. Barstool Nate when we come back.